Well, let us open God's Word together to Romans chapter 16. And forgive me for sitting down, just the leg is not the best tonight. So Romans chapter 16, and we'll read together just the first two verses of Romans 16. And the title for our message this evening is The Commendation of Phoebe. The Commendation of Phoebe. So Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2. And the word of God reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Well, I feel a little bit coming to this chapter like somebody who's ran a long marathon and is coming to the final corner, and you know the home straight is in view, and we don't have too many sermons left, God willing, in this chapter. Maybe four or five sermons left. I don't know. I never know at the beginning of a chapter. I'm often amazed sometimes at how many sometimes we can look at as we go through the chapter. But as an overall statement on the chapter, and the one thing you're confronted with in the chapter is the amount of names that are mentioned. Probably nothing like it in New Testament for the amount of names that are referred to in such a short space, especially in the first 15 or 16 verses or so of this chapter. But the whole chapter is full of names, and that's one peculiarity about it. But John MacArthur says on this chapter, it is by far the most extensive, the most intimate, and the most specific of all the words of personal loving greeting ever to come from the inspired heart and mind of the Apostle Paul. And that really is a helpful comment. Prominent words that we have in this chapter would be the likes of commend, or words or thoughts. Commend, greet, salute, warning, and benediction. Again, ideas and words there. And again, as we've already said about the names, and let me just again quote John MacArthur on this. He says, the names are somewhat incidental, if interesting, still incidental. The real insight is the character of Paul's love and the networking of loving relationships that make ministry possible. And that is helpful, obviously, because we don't know much about many of the names that are mentioned. And even those that we might be familiar with, there is some debate on it. I'm going to stand because it's next to impossible to preach when you're sitting down. Let us look at this subject together, the commendation of Phoebe, under these two verses, verses 1 and 2. Peter Masters says that the three words that emphasize or that are give substance to these two verses are the three words sister, servant, and succorer. Of Phoebe itself, she was more than likely the bearer of the letter, the one who actually brought the letter to the church. And he also says, Peter Masters says, though a woman did not write this epistle, a woman was trusted with its safety and transmission. And again, as one has said, here is the gospel of the living God, not entrusted to angels, but to one faithful lady. And though he did not use a woman to write a book of the Bible, he used a woman to transport that book, that most important, perhaps of all books, in terms of its presentation of the gospel, and therefore demonstrated that within the bounds of biblical definition and function designed by God for women, he uses them in marvelous and glorious tasks that do not violate his holy design for them. So here we have a letter transported from Greece. Nearly every commentator would agree that Paul wrote the letter in Corinth. And here we have this, the most important, probably you could say, biblical letter ever written, transported by a lady named Phoebe from Greece to Italy, which is not an insignificant journey. Again, we think of the time period, probably around 57 or 58 AD, no fast or indeed no safe means of transport. And we referred to that already, that Paul sought the help of other believers in these journeys. And one of the reasons for that was the sheer danger sometimes of just moving from one place to another. We could divide this message up into two main points. First of all, the commendation itself, and then secondly, the reasons for the commendation. We'll be brief with the first point. And the commendation itself is in the opening part of verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. We have a number of examples of this idea of commendation. We have the commendation of Apollos in Acts chapter 18 and verse 27. Again, for the sake of time, we won't look at these verses. We have Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 3 that we are not like others who need letters of commendation. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1. And then also one last reference in 3 John verses 9 and 10. Regarding Diotrephes, who even though received letters would not receive the believers. So this practice of commendation is a New Testament practice. It is right. In fact, one other preacher said that it is something that we are to do. We are to write letters of commendation for believers as a biblical practice. It's not something we should ignore. And I was rebuked by that for a particular circumstance regarding our brother and sister who went to Lochbrickland. So that's something that I need to put right. So I was rebuked in the preparation of this sermon in that particular context. So biblically, we should write letters of commendation, not just say, oh, well, you know, off you go and so on. No, we are to commend. And this is what Paul is doing here. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. The word commend, according to Thayer, has a number of different definitions, but just pick out one or two that he mentions. It means to place together, to set in the same place, or to bring or to band together. And the idea here in the word is bring together thoughts about the person and presenting them to somebody else, to put together by way of composition or combination, and so on. There's many other definitions. There are some of them that don't really apply to the context. But a commendation is a bringing together of thoughts, a bringing together regarding a person so that we might commend them and recommend them to those that they are going to. So that is the commendation itself and the biblical basis of this practice. But then we're going to spend the rest of our time looking, secondly, at the reasons for the commendation. Or to put it another way, six reasons why believers should receive and assist other Christians. First of all, because of salvation. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Paul's saying you are to receive this lady because she is a Christian. She is one of us. Now her name, there's some debate over this. Some like Alexander McLaren would say that her name is a purely idolatrous one, which would suggest that she comes from an unbelieving background. I think John Gill would be possibly of a different opinion. I think it's him that says that her name does have Jewish roots, even though it is Greek. Not Jewish roots, but many Jews, I should say, use that name. And he gave one or two examples. Again, we don't know for sure. But the main point here is that Paul is telling the believers in Rome to receive this lady because she is a sister. Her Christian associations are with the church at Cenchrea. So she is a sister. She's a Christian. How should we treat believers? How should we treat other Christians? The Lord Jesus Christ actually spent some time on this issue so that we would be careful how we treat other believers. In Matthew 10:42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily or truly I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord Jesus Christ says that believers are so important to him that even the gift of a drop of water to them in the name of a disciple shall be rewarded. Matthew 18:6. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Chapter 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 14 of the same chapter. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So how should we treat Christians? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us we are to treat them with great respect, with great honor, because this is how God treats them. God has shown us not only mercy, but God has shown us respect and love. But then secondly, not only are we to receive and to assist people because they are believers, but because of service and church membership. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now Cenchrea was about 9 miles from Corinth. One or two commentators suggest that this church was established by Corinth. It was a sort of a daughter congregation of the church in Corinth. And here, this lady is not only, it appears, a member of this church, but a servant of this church. An issue arises here with the word diakonos, which is translated here servant. Did Phoebe hold the office of a deacon, the office of a deaconess, if you like? And there is debate. John MacArthur says yes. Peter Master says no. And most Reformed commentators would say no. In 1 Timothy 3, just turn there, leave your finger in Romans 16, just very briefly on this. You could probably do a message on this one alone, but just to briefly comment on this, because one of the arguments that John MacArthur makes is in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3, why are the wives mentioned, or women mentioned, in verse 11 after deacon when they're not mentioned after elder? And you'll notice that there. The elders' wives are not given prominence, but the deacons' wives are. And there's a simple answer for this. The answer is very simple. It's as simple as this, that women and the wives of elders can't really be involved in the elders' ministry. But the wives of deacons can. There's a big difference, isn't there? And that's the answer. Why is the deacons' wives emphasized and the elders' wives not? Because the wives can help their husbands in their ministry much more biblically and much more without compromising the role of a deacon. They can serve. They can do the physical work of the church. And in fact, that's an area where women are very gifted in and should be. And as we see in our text, Phoebe did do. Whereas women cannot and should not be involved in the spiritual government of the church. And therefore, there's not an emphasis in the same passage regarding elders' wives as there is with deacons' wives. Now again, we have to make a distinction, don't we, between the act of service and the office of deacon. So just because someone is called a diaconus, a deacon, a servant, we're all meant to be diaconus, we're all meant to be servants. But even 1 Timothy 3 makes a distinction between an office in verse 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there is a difference between the work and the office. And the office can only be held by men, but women can indeed and should be involved in the work and can support their husbands if they are the wives of such men. As it seems in Phoebe's case, she was not a wife, but she was given to the service of the church. We don't know that for 100% sure, but it seems that she was not in that particular situation, but was a servant. So should we have deaconesses in the church? Absolutely. Every woman, in a sense, should be a deaconess, known as a servant. Should a woman hold the office of a deacon? Absolutely not, for the scripture is clear regarding that. Third point, third reason why we are to receive and to assist other believers. Because of the relationship because of the relationship to and separation in the Lord. Verse 2 of our text says, that ye receive her in the Lord. The context is our relationship to God. I'm going to say to you very clearly that the problems begin in Christian relationships when we forget this point. Our relationship to the Lord. The context of our relationship and our union together is in the Lord. Receive her not just as a Christian, not just as a member of the church and a servant of the church, but receive her in the Lord. In the context of her relationship and devotion and participation in what is called the faith that belongs to the people of God, which unites them to their head, the Lord. And that's why in Philippians 2, when Paul talks about sending Epaphroditus, who is a brother and a companion in labor, Philippians 2:25, fellow soldier, your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that you had heard he'd been sick. And he was nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and so on. But it says in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Why? Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Receive him in the Lord. Regard him. Hold him in high estimation. And here's the thing in our text. That Phoebe was being commended just in the same way. So therefore we have to be careful as Reformed Christians that yes, we do say women should not hold office in the church, but that doesn't mean we regard them any less. We regard them just as highly. And in fact, the thing you'll notice in the phrases that we are to see now in a moment, not only that, but Paul gives her such an importance that they are to assist. They are to help. But then fourthly, they are to receive and to assist because it is appropriate. It is proper for saints to do this. It says, as becometh saints. In other words, what he's saying to the Roman Christians is, act like Christians towards this woman. Remember not only who and what she is, but remember who and what you are. You are Hagios, the holy ones. You are the saints of God, the sanctified ones of God. And here is a servant of Christ. And you're to receive her as such. This becomes saints. The Lord Jesus said that the world even would know that what we teach is true by the way we treat each other. The world would be convicted and confronted and constrained to accept that our faith is genuine based upon how we treat one another. Hence we have stories as the Christians were being thrown to the lions of Christians literally putting their arms around other believers so that the lions would not harm them but would take them first. How we treat one another. Giving ourselves over for the service. And what Paul says, this is wonderful because in the world's way of doing things, you know, if somebody's a servant, well, they're the servant, we're the boss, and that's the relationship. And here's Paul saying, here's a servant of the church, now you be her servant. Isn't that wonderful? It's not saying, you know, Phoebe's a servant, so if you need her to do anything for you, you know, make sure you ask her. Now, Paul is saying, because she is such a servant, you be her servant. Now, I would say to you an application here. Who should you seek to serve? Serve these type of people. Look out among the people of God for those who want to serve and become their servants. Then fifthly, we should receive and assist and accept other believers because it is answerable to need. And it says, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Most commentators agree that this woman seemed to be a very affluent woman. There's in the next point, the last point, it seems to indicate that she was a woman of means. A woman who maybe quite a wealthy woman and helped many other believers, and that she had whatever business she had in Rome, that she would need various things looked after, and that they were to assist her in that. Over the years, I've often had situations where believers have come to Ireland for the first time and there's basic needs. In fact, I got a private message on Facebook just in the last couple of days from a lady in Brazil who wants to come to Ireland for 4 months and is looking for a place to stay while she's here for 4 months. So we have a responsibility as believers to, as much as we can, provide and help for other believers in their need. And this is exactly what Paul is saying regarding Phoebe. He's not saying, listen, this woman is wealthy, this woman's willing to serve, so take advantage. And isn't it sad that often that is the case? If we knew that a wealthy Christian was coming here and was very, very willing to be of service, there'd be a temptation in our hearts and minds to take advantage of that. And everything that Paul is saying, yes, she's a servant. Yes, she's a giver. She's generous. She has means. But you seek to serve her. Don't seek to take advantage of her. And then lastly, because it is the purest form of appreciation. The purest form of appreciation is to serve somebody else. If you really appreciate somebody else, you will serve them. Now, isn't that amazing? Because when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to serve. He served us. What does that say about how much he appreciates you and me? He didn't come and say, I am your God, you know, you serve me. No, he came so that he might bless and serve us. One last quote from John MacArthur. She has been a succor. The word means it can mean benefactress, it can mean helper. The term prostatus, and it basically in the Jewish community came to refer to a wealthy supporter. So this dear woman was a wealthy supporter, no doubt, of the church at Sancria. That may well have met in her home. Again, we don't know this for sure. She may have been to that church what Lydia was to the church at Philippi. And she also offered some support in some way to the apostle himself. These are the type of people that we are to seek to bless. Look out for these people in the church and outside of this church. Look out for these type of Christians. I think one of the problems can often be is that we can put, and I'm not saying we shouldn't put any time into Christians who are struggling, but sometimes the last type of Christian we seek to put our service into is this type of Christian. We look at this type of Christian and we think, well, they're doing fine. And we seek to put our attentions and our efforts into Christians that may be are a bit more self-centered and caught up with their own situation. Now, primarily seek out to support and to serve Christians who are seeking to serve others. That's a biblical principle. Don't ignore the Christians that are in trouble and in need. Yes, don't ignore them. But neither ignore the ones that you might think don't need help. There's the point. Here's a woman that on every level doesn't seem to need help. She's very spiritual. She's financially wealthy. She probably had servants. And yet Paul tells the believers in Rome to assist her. In whatever need, in whatever business, you give her help. Why? Because she needed it physically? Or even spiritually or financially? No, but because it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. So, closing questions of application. Do we make it our practice to commend other Christians? We should, according to this text. Let us make it our practice to commend other believers to other believers. But then secondly, do we live in such a way so that others would find it easy to commend us? There's a good question of application. If Aaron Reformed Baptist Church was going to write a letter about you, what would it say? Do I live in such a way that the church would find it easy to write a good letter of commendation for you? Thirdly, are we committed to church membership? But not only committed to church membership, are we committed to the service of the church and indeed other churches? And lastly, do we treat other believers as the Lord would have us treat them? Of course, we mourn, don't we, that we have failed in so many ways in these points. But may God strengthen us to be like Paul, commenders, recommenders of those who serve Christ and his people. Amen.